Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
As we head into the festive season, middle-class consumers are facing a complex mix of challenges. Need I remind you, rising living costs, there's debt stress, there's a lot of economic uncertainty. We've just seen the inflation numbers tick up today, and all of that is weighing heavily, but not all gloom and doom, you'll be happy to hear me say. Recent data from BrandMap is providing a fresh lens on how we're all navigating these pressures, and I'm going to welcome back to this program Brandon de Kock, who's Director of Storytelling at BrandMap. Brandon, always good talking to you, and thank you so much indeed. So your data is challenging the widespread narrative that we're drowning in debt. What have you found?
Hi, Jeremy. Well, thanks for having me back. We generally tend to find that everybody tends to lump everything together. And I guess that's, for me, the main story that we're trying to tell. There's no doubt that there are a heck of a lot of consumers in real trouble. And when I say real trouble, they're just under massive amounts of stress. You know, whatever raises in income they're getting are certainly not meeting rising food and energy costs. But to lump 13 million people in what we call the middle market, so that's all the people living in tax-paying households, to lump them all together and go they're all drowning in debt is really missing a trick, I believe. So I think the story here, we're a very stratified society, and at least half of those people that we're talking about are really not feeling the pinch as badly as the rest of the market. So it's a little bit of a sort of a feel-good story for half of the middle market, if you know what I mean.
I suppose it depends on the definition of what feeling the pinch is. I mean, your pinch might be different to mine.
Absolutely. And I guess that's where the whole debt thing comes in. It's definitely a measure that we've put into play for the last couple of years. We've always asked the same question, which is simply, you know, how are you feeling about debt? And consistently, year on year, we find that, you know, there's less than about 30% of households that are actually debt stressed. So that means that the 30% of people really are debt stressed, but the others are either sort of sophisticated enough consumers to understand how to use debt, how not to let it become an albatross around your neck. And then as you go even higher up the income bands, people start realizing, well, actually, you know, debt can be a tool. You know, it's not that they don't have any debts. It's that they're using debt to leverage a completely different type of lifestyle. So that's probably the main indicator, I'd say, is this whole idea of are people borrowing themselves into a lifestyle? And the answer is not really.
But if you are a so-called middle-aged adult, you are feeling things a little bit more starkly than perhaps younger people and older people such as myself.
Yeah, such as yourself and myself. I think when you look at the least debt-stressed people are, as you say, the younger and older cohorts. And it makes total sense. It's almost like younger people getting into the market probably haven't had to embrace debt yet. And as they start having families, and as you start needing to house your family and feed your family, the idea of needing to borrow money, whether it's personal loans from a bank or taking out, you know, using your credit card debt, that starts becoming much more of a factor for, let's call it, family generation people, you know. And then what we find with the boomer generation is that they're the least likely to be in debt at all, probably because they've either paid their debt off completely, you know, or they're retired and have found a different way of living. Mm. So it really is about that. I'm not so sure about middle-aged. It's more about sort of middle-life people, you know, people who start families. It's a heck of a thing to deal with in the current economy.
Yeah, maybe those baby boomers just don't care anymore, Brandon.
Spending their money on other things,
yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah. It's interesting to see. You say that rising food and energy costs keep nearly half of South Africans awake at night. But there's a caveat today, though. The inflation numbers are out. It has accelerated to 2.9% in November from 2.8% the previous month. But food prices, which are a key component of household spending, have eased further. And there's some nice drops in prices here. Eggs, for instance, down by 3.7%. 8 out of 11 food and non-alcoholic beverage categories, in fact, have recorded declines. So vegetables, cheese, bread, cereal. So there's a bit of Christmas cheer for us.
Yeah, just a little bit of cheer. The fact that we can all eat eggs more freely. I mean, I think it's you're absolutely right. It's a the here's what I think that story tells is that we still live in a ridiculously volatile environment. You know, if you we're just not sure what's going to get better or worse. I do think that if you take the whole year, so you know we've had one of the most stressful consumer years in living memory virtually. You know, we had water shortages in Johannesburg. We had Eskom issues. Then we had a very, very stressful election cycle. And I think that consumers were completely like deers in the headlights. You know, I don't think people knew what to do. But as we get to the end of the year, I don't know how you're feeling, but the idea of this, like the GNU seems to be doing something right. The inflation is still lower than it was. The consumer confidence indicators that keep getting published seem to be showing an upward streak. And maybe actually we're just starting to feel a little bit more confident about the future. Mm. I think we've come out of a year where people kept a lot of money in their pockets. You know, it wasn't a question not of having money. It was like, I'm just going to spend it and I'm going to be wise about it.
Brandon, thanks for including me in your example. But when you get to my age, you don't sleep well at night anyway because you've got to keep getting up. That's a different conversation entirely. What I do find interesting about your data, though, is spending patterns, you say, are shifting. And here's the nub. Discretionary spending is being postponed.
Well, I think that's we still have a little bit of work to do to go and unpack that. But I'll give you an example of crazy trends. Do you ever keep track of the new passenger car sales? I can't remember if we've had this conversation.
We certainly on this program, we do that every month, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you would have seen the pattern, right? When I look at new passenger car sales, I think it's a great litmus test for consumer confidence and for what's going on. And if you look at the graph of new passenger car sales for 2024, it's absolutely crazy. It's like no year we've ever had. It's the first year I have in recorded history where April sales are lower than March. You know, the bottom almost fell out of the market. And yet for the last 2 months, we've had the highest unit passenger car sales in 8 years. And you go, where does that come from? You know, so there are a few possible explanations. I do think that the two-pot system, maybe there were 5,000 or 6,000 people who felt like the most intelligent thing to do with their newfound retirement pot wealth was to go and buy a new car. Maybe it was some of the rates coming down. You know, the repo rate being low, it may have had a big effect. But if you just look at those new passenger car sales, it tells the story of an insane and crazy year. That's definitely, for me, a sign that those people had the money because the new car purchase price hasn't dropped. You know what I mean? Things are still the way they were. I just think people have postponed their purchasing. And if you're a retailer going into the Christmas season, jeepers, I hope I'm right, you know, for retail South Africa, because it's been a really bad year. And I think there might be a lot of pent up retail therapy in need of satisfaction. You know?
Just a final one, and I'll keep an eye on the time because it's always against us. Tell me what this thing is called, the subscription generation.
Oh, so this, Jamie, I wish I had the actual data on it. This is a theory that we're busy trying to prove, and over the we're hoping that there's sort of more interrogation, investigation. We're certainly going to be doing it going forward. There's a little hint in the data for me that there is starting to be an effect on consumer behavior in younger generations, coming out of a world where we're so used to, the younger consumers these days are so used to not purchasing big ticket items. You know, when you look at a motor vehicle and you go, sure, I've got to put the fuel in, I've got to pay the insurance, there's a lot of costs associated with it. Or should I just take an Uber rather? You know, the subscription generation for me is very much Gen Z, a little bit of Gen X, and anybody younger. These are young consumers who are used to something like a subscription, right? So it's almost like rent suits the modern approach to life better than buying a house. And I do think that that may have quite a big effect going forward, that the traditional big ticket items may be sort of let go or backburned in favor of more lifestyle. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And we're not going to talk again this year, but Brandon de Kock, Director, Storytelling at Brand Map, I look forward to your next revelations next year. I appreciate your time tonight. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy. Nice to chat.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.